What do you think the six highest per capita countries are on a purchasing power parity as defined by the World Bank? Think about it for a second. I'm going to tell you, not in the particular order, but it's Luxembourg, Norway, Switzerland, the United States, of course, Bermuda, and Cayman. Several interesting things about this. The only reason Norway's in there is because they have a lot of oil, so let's throw them out. The U.S. is in there for the obvious reasons. Switzerland also is in there for the obvious reasons. Luxembourg, because they built a big financial center in the EU, where much of the EU money flows. And Bermuda and Cayman are two black majority states. It's very interesting. I'll talk about Cayman because I'm on the board of the Cayman Island Monetary Authority. Now, I know a number of you thinking, he's down there defending money launderers and criminals. But I'm going to talk about the myth here a little bit versus the reality. I'm actually doing a book on how Cayman became wealthy. And it's just the opposite of what you think. For instance, if you were going to put your money in a bank, would you put your money in a bank where you believe the bankers were crooks in a jurisdiction run by the mafia? Or would you put your money in a bank where you thought the banks were very well run, very professional, the bankers were honest, and the jurisdiction was law-abiding with an honest court system? The reason Cayman has cleaned up from around the world is because it actually has one of the most efficient court systems in the world. It's got they benefited from the British common law. They've had a very efficient court system, very efficient laws, and it's an incredibly honest place. And it's very interesting because you look at the Caribbean, you've got a number of black majority countries there. You also have Cayman surrounded by socialist countries. If you don't know where Cayman is, it's 430 miles south, due south of Miami. Sits in the middle of the Caribbean. It's not close to any place else. But you look at its neighbors, Cuba, Jamaica, Central America, and then there's other islands off or further distant. But socialism never came to Cayman. The Caymanians hate the expression they're a tax haven. They say, we're not a tax haven. We have taxes. They're consumption taxes. But they've never had an income tax. The people are highly individualistic. And if you get down there and you talk to the folks, they remind you very much of the Geneva Swiss. You can make a handshake deal. I found them to be, in the years I've been involved, incredibly honest. Very low crime rate. It's clean. It looks totally different than much of the stereotypical places. There is virtually no poverty in Cayman. They were just hit by a terrible hurricane, but people weren't killed because their buildings were substantial, even though there was a lot of flooding. It'll take a long time to clean up. They didn't have, there wasn't shacks around where people were blown away and that kind of thing. But Cayman succeeded. Now, why did Cayman succeed and socialism did not take hold in Cayman, unlike all the other places? Well, as I mentioned, there was the rule of law. There was also the influence of religion. And 150, 180 years ago, there were a number of Presbyterian ministers that came in. And it's a very Calvinist type country. You can bring your kids there, let them go around, virtually no drugs. It's about as crime-free as any place on the planet. There is no gambling. There is no sin strip. I know of no other jurisdiction in the world where there's no place with seedy bars and everything that goes with it. It doesn't exist in Cayman. And Bermuda also, of course, is a great success story. Now, why have the blacks and the multiracial society in Cayman and Bermuda succeeded so well? And I've been looking at this issue. There's less racial tension in Cayman than any other place I've ever been. And one thing is it had been isolated for about 300 years. There had been relatively few movements of people in and out. There was a great deal of intermarriage. They have a number of these old families, the Bowdens and Ebanks. If you hear you're going to meet somebody named Don Ebanks, you don't know if he's going to be Walter's shade or my shade or anything in between. And because of that, and the positions people have held, there's been really very little discrimination on the basis of skin color with all kinds of occupations. But there, people were property owners early on. People, regardless of color, had property rights. There was never any welfare. Everybody was expected to take care of themselves, but you had the strong church groups. So for people who were not able to take care of themselves because of some kind of mental or physical disability or whatever else, you know, there was the support groups in the community, and it worked extremely well. And socialism never had any appeal for it. The idea of an income tax they found was abhorrent. They believed in personal privacy and the rights of financial privacy. And you see, if you have the right institutions and the right attitudes and sort of attitudinal structures, things can exceed extraordinarily well. Genetically, they're no different than many of the other of the islands or folks in countries which haven't succeeded. But again, it's a difference in attitude, the idea of the rule of law, of being honest, of having strong property rights. And I look at Cayman as the kind of ideal future world. When they got their independence, basically from Jamaica, they're still a crown colony, but they're self-governing. Back in 1963, there was virtually nothing there. And the question for them was, how are they going to make it? The British were not going to give them foreign aid. And they deliberately decided to be a tourist center and a financial center. And the money they make on the financial center is providing financial services. They have $1.3 trillion in bank deposits, but that money, of course, is only flows through as accounting entries, but it's having to train professionals, the accountants, and the locals have come to the U.S. and Britain, gotten the kind of education, particularly in the business schools, the schools of economics. They've studied finance, law, and accounting, and they provide a very high quality service. And you see what has happened in Cayman, and you say, it can happen here. Here was an island with no natural resources. It was mosquito infested, did not have oil, did not have any kind of minerals. But it had a number of clear-thinking people who sat down and said, what can we do? Where can we add value for the rest of the world? And the financial industry constantly evolves. And much of the financial industry, like the insurance industry, they got the second biggest insurance industry in the world after Bermuda, it's not driven hardly at all by taxes. It has to do in part with the American tort system, which is limits the types of insurance services you can get out of here. But the Harvard University and all their hospitals, they brought their malpractice and medical insurance to Cayman more than 20 years ago, and a lot of the other university medical centers followed suit. And so Cayman has virtually all of the major medical hospital insurance systems operating out of a place like Cayman. They only passed their mutual funds law in 1993, and now they have more funds than any other place on the planet, and 60% of all the hedge funds. Why? Because the law is understandable. It's efficient. I mean, you sit down, you can pick it up. Anybody here could readily understand it within 15 minutes or so. And they have a very efficient regulatory structure. We work very hard to make sure we keep up the criminals and the money launderers and the drug dealers and all that, because we know that will give it's not good for business. And the business there is basically institutional. But the key point is here you've got a group of people, again, majority black, who've exceeded extremely well. And you had the right institutions, the right culture, the rule of law, and that is of key importance. And it shows that, you know, anybody, no matter what their national origin, can succeed very well if you have the right kind of institutional and social setup. With that, we'll get off into our discussion for the day here. We are fortunate to have two very distinguished economists. First one is David Levy, who has got his book, How the Dismal Science Got Its Name, John Ruskin, Classical Economics and the Ur-Text of Racial Politics. And he's going to have a picture show for us, he tells me. David is head of this Center for Public Choice at George Mason University. And then we have my old friend Walter Williams, who had been for many years head of the economics department at George Mason University. I once taught George Mason as a part-timer many years ago, so I wore my George Mason University Adam Smith tie today that Ed Meese insisted upon that when he was chairman of the board of George Mason. Now, Walter, there's a few things you probably should know about him. Of course, you all know Walter. But I was once Walter's landlord. And for this lasted, I think, for about 6 years or so. When Walter first had started teaching George Mason, he needed a place to live because his family home in Devon, Pennsylvania, out here with his wife Connie, but he couldn't commute back and forth every day. And for the few days a week, he was down in Northern Virginia, he needed a place to stay. So we had extensive contract negotiations because both of us did not want to be in a kind of contractual relationship where the IRS could make a claim. So it couldn't be an exchange of money. And my attitude was that he could provide in-kind services for the room and bath that I was providing him. And I thought such things as he could make my breakfast and perhaps clean part of the house, the bathrooms, and so forth. And Walter had a very different attitude about it. He felt that I should be honored to have him there and I should provide services to him because he would be increasing my stock of knowledge and wisdom and just the idea of being able to bask in his reflected glory should be more than enough. In fact, he felt that I owed him. Anyway, these negotiations went on for years and years and years without a satisfactory settlement, so he finally moved out. And with that, I'll turn it over to David.